is the Summer Coaches Series brought to you on localsportsjournal.com. This is the feature with the LSJ, where we're going to travel around, talk to area football teams, kids, and coaches. We're going to feature six head coaches from Montague, Muskegon, Muskegon Catholic Central, Reith, Puffer, Fruitport, and Mona Shores. We're continuing to whittle this down. With visits in the book so far with Montague, Muskegon Catholic, Fruitport, and today, part four in the series, today's guest, as we keep the ball rolling, is Kyle Jewett, head ball coach from the Rockets. Coach, good morning and thank you.
Morning. Thanks for having us.
Coach, it's great to see you.
Yeah. Always good to see you.
Yeah.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, this will be your seventh season.
Seventh season, yep.
Working hard to keep the Rockets football program rolling along. What I read, and I read this, I thought this was interesting. You served as the running back coach for the unbeaten 11 Grand Rapids Community College football team.
Yeah, that's correct.
Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I was looking at the time just for a new opportunity and to grow in my knowledge base and with my connections and through the football network. I hooked up with Tony Anise, and he took me on as the running backs coach, and it was an invaluable experience. You know, just from not just the X's and O's, but being a part of a college program, the recruiting side and the academic side, and learning more about how to get high school kids recruited and things like that. So it was a tremendous experience and one that I definitely savor.
That's awesome. So you had been an assistant at Puffer and then Grand Rapids Northview.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were the quarterback for the undefeated Catholic Central Crusaders in the 2000 Division 8.
Yep.
State championship game.
Yeah.
Against Crystal Falls Forest Park. You guys won it 13-6 over Crystal Falls.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about that a little bit. How does Muskegon Catholic seems like they're everywhere. We were talking about before we went on the air here. It's that lineage kind of trickles down everywhere.
Yeah, the good old days, right? 2000.
Careful.
No, I mean, my experience, I have nothing but good things to say about my experience at Muskegon Catholic. I think it really boils down to the coaches that we had were, and Coach Rebecca, of course, is still there, but we had just, in my experience, some of the best coaches around. I played a little bit of college ball, and I still believe that, my high school coaches were, the best. But the tradition that school has and the culture of that school, it makes, people reach their potential, and I think that has a lot to do with, kind of what they value, and again, it goes back to their coaching staff.
Right. Talk about their dedication. I mean, they're with you almost 24/7. They got to be in your mind during that football season. How do they impact you? Like, what are the things that have really just left their thumbprint on you as a coach?
Sure. I think anybody, whether you're a football coach now or my buddies who are in different professions who played at Catholic, everybody has a sense that, when you were there, you didn't realize it, call it a bubble, whatever it is, but there was expectations placed upon you that, you don't really realize until you get older. And you look back and you're like, we did compete in the classroom against our own friends. We did compete in wind sprints. We did compete in the weight room. The competition aspect, to go along with, the faith and the culture in general. I just think it pays dividends in so many walks of life.
Wow. And how do you translate that to here? You take that experience, at the time it's hard to realize, wow, you're here with Coach Holmes and Rybecki, mm-hmm. These guys are legends.
Mm-hmm.
But, how does that translate to here at Reith Puffer? And, what do you take here to instill on these kids to, be the best performers they can be?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think any head coach is a head coach, in part at least, because they had such a positive experience in high school. And so if you ask anybody who coaches now, I think that they'll tell you they're trying to bring some of that magic from where they came from to where they currently are. And so, here at Reith Puffer, it's about, 7 years ago, and then continuing on the project of creating a culture of people who want to compete, like I said, and kids who see that being a good person translates to wins on the field and, wins later in life. So, it's in every little thing you do, from checking grades to lifting weights to, the discipline, walking the halls the right way and being respectful to teachers. And all of that factors into kind of who we are, who our identity is, who we hope to be, And that's just always like a constant work in progress.
Right, right. And, you know, that culture, that football culture where, when the last game is done of the season, you know, those kids are, you know, practice starts the next day for a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you, with your kids, instill that culture, you know, to get that going?
Well, so many things. I mean, if you're talking about the off-season culture, you know, it starts in the weight room. But we also do a lot with, teacher appreciation. We do a lot with trying to get a connection to the middle school and the intermediate. It's just kind of a sense of community that we try to instill, a sense of giving back to, you know, where we came from. But, you know, also simultaneously working on our craft. You know, these guys, you know, we start work in January, February every year, you know, 6 a.m.
Right.
workouts in the gym. And,
wow.
You know, that kind of stuff, you know, and they want it too, which is, you know, obviously a good thing. But that kind of stuff, I think, sends that message of just how important this thing is and what football can do for a young man's life.
Right. And, you know, Reese Puffer does have a good history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look back, it's been a little while since you've been in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know you guys are just itching and clawing and scratching to get back there.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it's been a little bit removed.
Mm-hmm.
And the tough part, you know, when you have a culture is, you know, some of these kids, when you're growing up and you see how someone wins a state title,
mm-hmm.
you see how it's done. But when you've been removed from that for a while, obviously you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you give that vision back to those kids to say, guys, this is where we want to go. You know, how do you?
Yeah.
Take that vision to them.
Well, you know, I it's a challenge. It's a different kind of challenge for sure to get people to believe that they can get there. And we've had some good classes roll through here. You know, it's going to take a special class, a class of kids that can buy into every aspect of the program. And then, you know, the physical part of the game, just getting through games and winning the close games, you know. We're at the hump, it seems, every single year, and if we can just get over that hump, you know, it can happen.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit. This production brought to you, again, with Jay Gorman and the LSJ. The synergies we talked about are terrific with the written part of it and the audio part of it. We're really grateful for you guys being here. We've got a couple of players in the room. Coaches asked Devin Fox to join us, running back. Senior? Okay. And Evan, the quarterback. Give me your last
Moskawa.
Name.
Moskwa.
We'll get that right. We will eventually. The good thing about
Jay, we practiced this. Dude.
We did, man. We're looking in the mirror. Moskwa.
So we're going to get to these young men in a minute. But again, if anybody would like to support or reach all the fans that are listening to us and count on the LSJ for their high school football news, reach out to Jason. He can be reached at 231-638-7307 or sports@localsportsjournal.com. We've got the kickoff party coming up, fourth year, August 17th, Oak Ridge Golf Course, Bella Maria's.
Yeah.
Great host, Teddy Spaghetti, annual high school football preview section. Jason, talk about that a little bit. 40 pages full of 22 teams, feature stories, et cetera. Give us a little love on that.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely it's an amazing work to assemble all of that information together. We have a great crew of guys out here calling our coaches and getting the details on who the kids are and their sizes and weights and, you know, how the whole synergy of that team is working together. And, you know, we're trying to give a good snapshot of what that season's going to look like. You know, it's going to be 22 schools. Like you said, it's all the schools from Grand Haven to Ludington to Fremont. There's 22 high schools in there that have football teams. We're also going to have some feature stories in there. Obviously, the Big Reds, you know, coming off that state championship, exciting for Coach Fairfield. We're also going to be talking about the WMC conference this year and just kind of the history of the WMC and the strength of that small school conference. And, you know, last year they had 4 teams out of the 8 make the playoffs. It's impressive. So we're going to be talking about that, and we got some other great stories in the mix. So it's going to be 40 pages, full color.
And we may or may not be there. We're not sure yet. We haven't really made that decision yet.
What's that now?
This podcast may or may
right.
not be there.
Yeah, we're working on that. You know, WLCS 98.3 FM has always been a great partner of the LSJ. And they've been there producing that show each year, and now we got some conflict. So, you know, it's interesting how timing works in life sometimes, mm-hmm. that where you're a little bit ahead of the curve sometimes, and that's the way that spirit of sport works, is that you you get a little vision going on. So we're going to be producing that and interviewing coaches out there. It's going to be a great day, you know, August 17th.
Absolutely. Also want to thank Finishing Touch, full-service salon offering hair and nail style and design, massage, tanning, and a terrific selection of products. Located near Henry Street, 865 West Summit, Roosevelt Park. Call 231-755-3377. Also, ASSE International. My wife actually had a young lady, Trish Vasquez, at Reese Puffer.
She's a track star, right?
Yeah, she ran track. She did really well. Would you consider hosting an international high school student? Just three squares a day in a safe home. Give Julie a jingle, 402-616-402-2892. Other sponsors include Preferred Chrysler Dodge Jeep in Muskegon, Orthopedic Associates of Muskegon, Port City Pediatrics, Bad Boy Bail Bonds, Sherry Becker at Waddell and Reed Financial, and Deerspeed Automotive. All right, Coach, let's get to it. Rockets are a Class A program, about 1,100 kids. 11th year in the OK Black, played in the OK Green before that. Dates back to 1962, from what I can tell, with just a little bit over a 500% winning average. Jason already touched on, you know, taking away from your playing days at Catholic and what you bring over here. Talk about your other coaches and that level of commitment. A lot of, you know, wins and losses are important, but a lot of it is instilling a vision you have for the program and getting the kids to buy into the vision. And as long as these kids are given 100% and doing it the way that they've been asked to do it, that's really what you're looking for as a coach, right, is that growth and development within the team mm-hmm. to sort of manage each other and lead.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I've always thought that, you know, a student-athlete's sense of return on his investment by being in the program needs to exceed just wins and losses. You know, obviously, at the end of the day, wins are, you know, extremely important. But, you know, just being a part of the program should also mean that, you know, from team-building activities to academics to – just growth as a young man, there should be more return there. So from a year-round standpoint, we try to create an environment for the kids where they know that they've got a bunch of people looking out for them, the whole coaching staff, I'm speaking of, in terms of their academics as well as their behavior. But taking them to, you know, just yesterday we went to the beach. The whole team went to the beach. You know,
not a bad day.
Yeah, it was all right. You know, and we've done that a few times. And you know, we try to do as many things as we can to just instill a sense of family and that, you know, when they all get their diplomas, they can look back on their high school career. You know, hopefully, you know, we got a bunch of wins in our pocket. But, you know, they can also look back at all these little things that we did and say, you know what, that was pretty cool. And I'm proud to be a part of the Reese Puffer football program.
Right. Well, and all those, as we all know, as older guys, that those relationships these kids develop today mm-hmm. will be around for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And they'll be talking about plays they make this season when they're later on in life, after college with kids and families. They'll see a buddy in some bar somewhere or some restaurant and say, remember so-and-so, mm-hmm. and those memories light up. Let's talk about your coaches. Talk mm-hmm. about your staff and who's going to own defense, who's going to own offense. Some of the times last year, from what I can tell, and forgive me, I wasn't real close to your program last year, but sometimes you went to the Wildcat and you ran some of that real fast Wildcat. And is that still going to be something you do? And just give us some overview on your staff and your outlook for this year.
Well, this cat across from me might have a little bit to do with the Wildcat this year. We'll see. But
you're talking about Mr. Fox.
Talking about Mr. Fox.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and introduce your guys.
Yeah, this is Davin Fox. He's a junior running back / corner. You know, he also plays at the slot position for us. We think he's a pretty dynamic athlete. Played for us as a sophomore on varsity as well. Had a real nice season. And next to him is Evan Moskwa. Not to be confused with Evan Moskow. But he's our quarterback. He played as a sophomore, of course. Won the job as a sophomore. Had a real nice season. And he returns as our signal caller this year at quarterback. So, both juniors, both great kids, and I asked them here to be here today just to give kind of their feedback on how the summer's going and the upcoming season.
Great. So, guys, welcome to the program. Let's start with Davin. Davin, you're running back, right? I think I saw you during the 7-on-7. Correct me if I'm wrong. There was a 7-on-7 up here the other mm-hmm. night with Catholic and Spring Lake.
Yep.
And you guys were working hard, and I believe you were jumping on a couple of guys maybe for not going 100%, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
Yeah. So talk to me about what you're doing and the buy-in that you've had mentally with this family known as the Rockets as far as the football team, man. Where are you?
Well, I just look to have fun, really. I just want to play football and be with the team.
Right.
Make sure we all together, playing together. Most people's minds not there. So I'd be like the kind of guy to get everybody together. Sometimes I have a breakdown.
Right.
So then like the coaches come talk to me. So I got to be a leader to everybody.
Right.
Really.
So playing running back, obviously doesn't happen with some good offensive linemen. We've heard a lot of feedback from a lot of good running backs, even this year so far in the series, but just in my doing this the last several years. Footwork in the backfield before you hit the line of scrimmage has always come up as a big deal. And also, you know, it's an overused thing, but running with your eyes, you know, around some of the Scott kids at Catholic, some of the good running backs that have come out of Grand Haven, obviously Muskegon. What are a couple of keys that you think are critical to being a good back?
Well, you got to have good vision. Like, you got to, I don't know, you got to be fast.
Speed is important.
Yeah, 1 minute, like, you can get blown up, then you won't like it. I don't know. You just got to be fast. You got to have a good mind.
Right. What about footwork? I mean, once they hand you the ball, you know, there's all different styles, right?
Yeah.
You see guys. Who's the running back from Michigan State that plays for the Steelers? I think, you know, you look at his running style. He takes those couple of stutter steps in the backfield and looks downfield and looks for his gap, and then, boom, he's gone. So you mentioned speed. How is your speed? You obviously run some track as well.
My speed is decent. I mean, it went down from injuries from track season, but trying to get back up there.
Okay, so you do run track.
Yeah.
Right. So is that kind of your MO? You'll kind of look downfield once they hand you the ball, or, you know, coach mentioned maybe a little wildcat thing going on. They're gonna maybe snap you the ball. We don't want to give telltales out of school here, but they're gonna just give me the ball and let me go do what I do, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Right, right. All right, Evan, quarterback, the man, right? No pressure though. Just gonna be a junior this year.
That's right.
Talk to me about the offense and your playbook and some of the stuff you're going to run, and then some of your favorite stuff to run that you think works.
Well, one of my favorite things to run is the triple option veer, because I can give it, I can run it, I can pass it, and it's just all depends on me for the read. And if I make the right read, play usually goes really well. If I don't make the right read, doesn't go well. So it's either we really get the play and get it done correctly, or we don't get it at all. And that's what I like about the veer.
Right. Give some love to your offensive linemen, if you can pull some of their names, because those guys are giving you the time to make some of those decisions.
Yeah, they're definitely working hard. Hans Schminnikenick, Shane Minders, TJ Waters, Luke Van Dam, Eric McGrary, and anyone else I'm missing. They're doing well this year.
So, Davin, who's in the backfield blocking for you, i.e. a fullback or another back? Who you got back there?
Well,
making sure you don't get too banged up.
Well, we only really got one back, but we got a slot out there.
Right.
The only person back there is the quarterback. And, you know, we
but the slot's always in motion going one side or the other.
Yeah, something like that.
H-back.
H-back.
Oh, H-back, too.
Yeah.
We got the H-back.
Who's the H-back?
We got Josh Jordan.
Okay.
Daniel Ambrose, Cole Haggard. Got a few people playing H-back.
Right. Let's talk about last year. Overall record 5-4. League record just 2-4. Points scoring a little bit over 23 points a game, and you gave up a little more than 22 points a game. You guys started out strong, 3-0, right? But then you had three straight losses, and you got outscored 125-16. But there a lot of that was injuries. And Davin mentioned that. I mean, he was banged up. I think your quarterback here was a little banged up. So talk about that. I mean, they came back strong, and well, we're going to talk about the Kennewick Hills game in a minute, but talk about the injuries, and that was a big deal last year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously injuries are a part of the game, and we're not any different from any other team, and it comes back to, you know, something we've talked a lot about today, and that's culture, and how does a team deal with adversity. And, you know, Evan went down, you know, in the meat of our schedule, right in the middle of the season during those three losses, and you know, as you mentioned, we got off to this good start. Evan gets hurt. A few other guys got hurt. And so now you're grappling with, you know, the dominoes of, you know, okay, who goes here, and then who takes his place, and then,
right?
You know, and so from a standpoint of, okay, how many positions got affected by one injury because
right.
of that? You know, so you're dealing with that, and like I said, that's no different than any other team. But you know, we struggled last year with guys getting into new positions in the middle of a season, something that they didn't practice necessarily all summer and all through 2 days. And then it seemed like we got our ball rolling again. You know, we won two in a row there at the end, having to win the third, and we just came short on the third.
Right. So you also lost Logan Santos, from mm-hmm. what I could tell.
Yeah.
And he was a pretty important part of your offensive line. So to your point, mm-hmm. the minute you lose one of those guys, is it as big a deal in high school from a chemistry standpoint with these guys playing together? Because they're all pretty tight, right? But it's hard to plug and play because you want mm-hmm. your best 11.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got kids that'll step up. This year, do you have, and we're going to talk more about this year in a second, but do you have good numbers? Let's talk about your numbers a minute.
Yeah, our numbers are around 35, which, you know, is about, I don't know if that's average now or not. You know, we've had upwards of 45 in the last couple of years. But, you know, with everything going on with football through the last, maybe decade by now, you know, through the ranks of the youth league and through the middle school, you know, this bubble's kind of traveling through, and you know, so we'll see where numbers go from here.
Right. So let's talk about it. You had to, you got through Middleville and Fruitport, and then you had the Kennewick Hills game. You had a 22-7 halftime lead and looked, you know, well on your way to making the playoffs, and then they outscored you 19-0 in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Injuries again coming into play there.
Yeah. Well, that game we had a couple suspensions, guys playing in new positions
right.
because of that, and the first half went extremely well for us despite all that, but it did catch up with us in the second half, you know, I'll also say that I've never been a part of a game where there's been so many fluke plays, you know, things that a ball bounces a certain way, goes up instead of down, and
right. football,
you know, yeah, some some odd things happened in that game, and none of them went our way, and credit to Kennewick Hills, they capitalized, you know, it's something that obviously is a thorn in our side, and something that's not very far from our thought process on a regular basis.
Right. Well, and you don't carry that stuff forward with you. I mean, you got to let it go, but mm-hmm. obviously it's something you think about.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get back to the numbers thing, and it's a question I've asked a lot of coaches. What is your take on some of the decline in numbers in high school football? What would you attribute that to?
Well, you know, whether you call it the I don't want to say fear tactics or anything like that, but there, you know, it came on very strong and very sharp, in a couple of years, it was, I think that there was just a big drop in youth numbers.
Mm-hmm.
We've seemed to sustain our youth. You know, it's dropped a little bit, but with the combination of that and year-round baseball, year-round lacrosse, year-round
that's
this
what
and
I've
that,
heard. Yeah.
You know, football's the only sport that can't go year-round, you know, and I don't know how that model can change. I don't know if, you know, maybe 7-on-7 leagues or things of that nature, like AAU, you know, for basketball can get going maybe. I don't know what the answer is, but we are at a disadvantage when it comes to, you know, this is a difficult sport to play. It's a sport that a lot of youth kids don't understand their role until they get older. You know, if you're a bigger kid at the youth level, you know, do you really understand the value of the block that you're making?
Right.
Everyone wants to carry the ball, right? So it's hard on that kid. You know, so I think as kids get older and they see baseball goes year round and I'm pretty good at that, why don't I just keep doing that? You know, we're combating some forces right now that I think is resulting in you know, the aggregate is that numbers are down.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Coaches, though, you know, at the younger levels, what kind of impact do you – I mean, obviously, you know your younger coaches,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what kind of impact do you try to instill in them to say, hey, you know, this needs to be dialed in for these kids. This is an experienced thing to lead them to the next step.
Yeah, absolutely. So just yesterday, we do a two-day camp with our youth league. We had 130 youngsters out there yesterday. And
wow.
Our kids –
it's a nice number.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it was – you know, mini mites all the way up to peewees, but you know, those coaches, you know, they work hard, and you know, even being a youth football coach is a huge commitment, and They get as
I did it.
Yeah, yeah.
The Mariners. Yeah.
You know, and they get as much flack as perhaps I do. You know, football is just one of those things that people get pretty boisterous over. So I give those guys a ton of credit. And but I just think you have to have that kind of relationship with your youth league, continuity. I meet with those coaches once a year, and we go through drills, and I give them every resource that I have at my disposal to make sure that, you know, obviously things are getting done the right way and in a safe way. But I think the biggest thing overall is that we have to make sure that these kids stay with it. So it has to be positive. And to go back to return on investment, like youth kid, really, I mean, wins, losses, I'm sure they care, but really they're trying to have fun with their friends.
Right.
So let's make sure they're having fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that playing factor. You know,
yeah.
you know, you want to win, but you want to make sure your kids are all going to get to play.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know which kid that's in fourth grade is going to be 6'7", 350 pounds,
right.
You know. And you want to make sure that that kid in fourth grade is going to be inspired to, once he gets that spot, when his body catches up,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, he'll be on your team.
Right.
Well, even at the high school level, you deal with that, right? You get freshmen, you know, you're going to have a freshman and JV team.
Mm-hmm.
So you see it all the time. I mean, these kids that grow into their bodies just in a year or 2 years, it can be astounding.
For
change.
Sure. Yeah, you know, I tell all my coaches, even down to the middle school, that, you know, coach with perspective in mind, that, you know, we're coaching to win and we're coaching positions, but, you know, bigger than that, we're coaching kids.
Right.
And every kid's different. And if you can take, you know, that growth mindset that this kid is here and we're going to take him there, however talented he is, because you're right, that kid that maybe doesn't show a lot of talent now, might balloon in 3 years, and you know, you'll be kicking yourself if you didn't, you know, have that mindset.
Yeah, right. and instilling in these kids to understand that, you know, when you start the season, you're going to be here, and how do they personally measure that growth,
mm-hmm.
to be able to see it translate into, you know, the first game I played a few snaps, and by the last game I was getting 4 or 5 tackles a game, or you know, things like that. So how do you it's instilling that idea of being able to show them measurable success and for them to feel good about it.
Absolutely.
Well, then there's a great article in the, I think it was the Detroit News this morning, even from the MHSAA, that says that it talks about the really tangible value of kids playing multiple sports,
mm-hmm.
keeping them engaged all year round.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard what you said from a couple different coaches about, you know, if I'm going to play baseball, I'm just going to play baseball all year round and forget football.
Mm-hmm.
But to have a kid that runs track and plays football or even baseball, or have them engaged in other sports to keep them mentally acute,
mm-hmm.
just to sports, but also academically. It's been shown that they perform at a higher level academically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, remember exactly what it specified, but maybe it's the team aspect or whatever. But the performance gets up is improved significantly.
Absolutely, I think it's competition. You know, when Davin has to hit a clutch free throw, you know, I look at that experience and say, you know, that's going to translate to football.
It is,
you know, because of the pressure he's facing. You know, he's within himself, and doesn't let the moment overtake him. That's all intangibles that will pay dividends in sports and in life later on. When Evan has to win a face-off in lacrosse and you know, in a tight ball game, you know, those things translate, absolutely. You know, it's about, you know, the well-rounded athlete and pressure situations. And, you know, I at our school, we have a lot of multi-sport athletes, you know. Almost everybody on the football team plays at least a second sport.
That's great.
Possibly three.
Evan, so you play lacrosse.
Yeah, I do.
Yep, so football, lacrosse, any other sports?
I used to play basketball, but I don't anymore.
Gotcha. What's that like? I mean, you know, it's
the transition.
Yeah, I mean, the transition
difficult.
Each time. You know, I mean, luckily lacrosse is kind of a combination of football.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very physical sport. You know, how does that help you, you know, instead of playing football year-round, you're also playing lacrosse, you know, in the spring?
It's great because I can go from football to lacrosse and not have any problems with conditioning. Same thing goes with lacrosse to football. But we keep in touch through football through the whole year. So we always have workouts going on. So I get football and lacrosse at the same time.
Wow.
It all works out.
Wow. And another thing, too, about that multi-sport athlete is you're using different muscles.
Oh,
right.
Question.
You know, so like lacrosse, you know, it's not just blocking and hitting kids. I mean, you're using your arms a lot more too, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, that's got to help you to getting that, you know, that continuity of
Let's ask Devin this.
Yeah.
Devin, the same question. So you mentioned, he mentioned basketball.
Yeah.
Mentioned track. You're playing football. So sticking with what Jay just said, moving from football to basketball, it's a totally different muscle group, right?
Yeah.
So football shape is football shape. Basketball shape is something completely different. How do you handle that transition?
Well, it is different. Going from football to basketball, training is different. We have to run a lot. I'm not in condition because football is different. You got to really change everything. You forget how to shoot a basketball. You haven't had a feel of a basketball in a while.
Right.
So,
don't tell Coach Johnson you said that, right?
Exactly.
Right. But it's just different. I mean, coming from basketball, you're not in shape for football. So you got to go through training again. But it's all worth it because that's what I love to do. So I'll take the time.
There you go. So this year, hopefully, you're going to have the basketball coach is going to have to wait a little while for him, right?
Hopefully, yeah. I want him to wait as long as possible.
There you go. So let's talk about your all-time 10 opponents. And I always think this is interesting. And Fruitport is number one. I'm going to go right down the list, 1 to 10. Fruitport, Muskegon, Mona Shores, Muskegon, Orchard View, Fremont, Spring Lake, Ludington, Muskegon Heights, Whitehall, Grand Haven, and Muskegon. You have a winning record over every one of those teams with the exception of Muskegon. Mm. That's a great record.
Yeah.
Top 10. I mean, what a strong program over the years. That speaks volumes about, you know, the path you're on mm-hmm. and the quality of kids. So
I think that's what attracted me to the job in the first place, you know, when I took over, is that Reese Puffer does have a rich tradition in football, and I got a brother-in-law who played here and had nothing but good things to say about the culture. And it was about bringing that back, and that's what we've been trying to do. And you know, certain dynamics have changed through the years, but, you know, still you see it in the kids that these are hard-nosed kids, and I wouldn't want to coach anywhere else where you don't have that kind of tenacious side of a kid. You know, they still very much love to hit, which I'm not sure if you can say that about every group of kids everywhere anymore. You know,
I think you can say no, that is the
yeah.
answer. Football's great until you start hitting.
Yeah.
And as a coach, you know, there's a lot of difference that's between the lines when you put on full pads.
For sure. And so, you know, it's about bringing that back, and we've been trying to do it. You know, we have to claw and scratch to get there. We play in a tough conference, but, you know, we're up to the challenge. And like I said before, you know, we're at the hump every year, and we just got to get over it.
Yeah, that's tough because, you know, these kids see that, and it's like, how do you do it? How do you get over that hump? And it's just you got to rely on that tradition to know that you can. But once they do it, then they see it, and then that next crop of kids, they see that experience of how they did it, mm-hmm. and you know, hopefully that continues to build that tradition.
Absolutely, yeah. It's definitely going to take the combination of the training in the off season, which these guys have done, you know, a certain level of talent, a buy-in into the intangibles of the program. Looking back on tradition, saying that we can. And so all that factors into, you know, like I said, some special class. And I've pegged these guys a long time ago that, you know, they can definitely do it, you know, as, you know, previous classes could have. But it takes all of that working in conjunction to get over the hump.
Well, and you do need some stars lining up, too. I mean, let's be honest. There is an element of having things go your way.
Absolutely.
Whether it's injuries or whatever. Let's talk about the conference you play in. OK Black.
Yep.
It looks like you're the fourth largest school in that conference. Everybody always wants to talk about realignment and mm-hmm. and the OK conference. You're happy in the conference? I mean, you've got some great competition mm-hmm. year after year. And I know you don't shy away from that, but talk about that a little bit in your experience having played in the OK Black.
Well, yeah, I like the conference for a number of reasons. First things that come to mind is we get to play rivals. You know, high school football, Friday Night Lights, there's nothing better than crosstown rivalries, whether it's
right.
Muskegon, Mona Shores, Fruitport.
Right.
You know, we play Grand Haven with our non-conference the past several years now. But, you know, as you mentioned, it's a tough conference, and that just means that, you know, every single week is important from a preparation standpoint. We're going to get the most out of our kids, and our staff has to, you know, there's no weeks off like there are in a lot of conferences. It also means that the product is that much better, you know, hopefully.
Right.
Who would you say your biggest rival is?
It's a great question.
You know, for different reasons, you know, certainly Mona Shores.
Yeah, that's always a big
game. Is that
game.
It? No, both players are shaking their heads.
Say, yeah. 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 Yeah, that's the student bodies get involved in that
right,
one. And
right.
That
and I think a lot of those kids know each other, too. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's a big rivalry, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that, mm-hmm. that packs it out.
Yeah.
A lot of fans there.
Yeah, we've had some great games the last 6 years. We're 3-3 in the last 6 years. So, and there's just been some really, really good games.
Man, 2 years ago.
Yeah,
you had the lightning delay. You know, we're waiting here. The fans are all trailing out, and pretty soon, you know, it's almost like, it's like a scrimmage. There's no one there.
Right.
You know, and now you have this whole new element of a game.
Yeah.
And those are just, moments you just don't forget.
Cause 2016, you're
talking
about 39-34.
Right. And Shores had you.
Yeah.
They had and they had you, and somehow you guys got them to fumble the ball. And
Theo Stevenson stripped the ball.
Theo, wherever you are.
Yep. You'll be talking about that one.
Shout out to Theo.
Yeah. But, it was real cool. I mean, to your point, the stadium's emptied.
Right.
Both sides of the stands emptied, and our student section was able to basically travel with the football.
It was so cool. I was watching
it.
That's great.
Yeah. But, last year, Mona Shores was just they had a great squad, and it was tough for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going into their place, too. But it's good to be back home again this year.
Mm-hmm,
For sure. So, as you line up with that, this year you're going to be home.
Let's do this. Let's take a break and then come back and talk about 18.
Yeah.
All right with you guys?
That's great.
All right. We'll be back with the whole crew here from Reese Puffer Football. I'm John McKay with the guys. This is a Summer Coaches Series on localsportsjournal.com.
You don't need to pack your bags to see the world. Let it come to you through ASSE International. Hi, I'm Julie McKay. Will you please consider hosting an exchange student? Make a lifelong friend from abroad. Your investment is only to furnish meals and a room. Open your heart to the world and all the kids and cultures it has to offer. ASSE students are available from over 50 countries. Enrich your family. Host an exchange student and make a difference, helping one grateful child at a time. For more information, please give me a call. Again, I'm Julie McKay in Grand Haven at 616-402-2892. That's 616-402-2892, or visit us on the web, ASSE.com.
Jewett and my buddy Jay Gorman.
Yeah, great to be here again,
and,
man. It's a lot of fun.
Just going to continue plowing down the road here. Again, reach out to Jason, 231-638-7307 to get on board. Got a lot of people looking at the website.
That's right.
You can go and
look
at the numbers. Surprised me, almost half of your viewers are ladies.
Right,
so
right.
So I thought that was interesting.
Group.
It's all moms and girlfriends. I can't figure that out.
But
so.
It's exciting because, the thing that I love about sports, and, Jim Leland, one of my favorite coaches back in the day, but he said it gives you something in common with people you wouldn't have something in common with. And so you'd think, moms, it's just you'd think it's a guy thing, but it's not. And everybody's paying attention. And, the big reason why everyone's paying attention is because it's their kids. And that's really a big part of why I wanted to get the LSJ going, because I knew local sports coverage was going to die here back in 2012. I really did.
Just say it like it is. But.
Hey, you want to be truthful or what?
Well,
folks?
No, but
we can look at it.
No,
and
that's one of the reasons we're doing this, right?
Right.
This area, and we mentioned it to Coach before we started this broadcast, was, this area has so much good football. So many good football players
per capita,
and teams. Oh,
Muskegon County per capita.
And doesn't get enough love.
We don't get enough love, and that's okay, because, when people don't respect you, it's great, from a competition standpoint. But it really comes down to it's all about the kids and making sure that these kids are getting the recognition they deserve. They need to get their name in print. They need to be over the airwaves. And, that's why we're here today.
Coach, you said something interesting about getting kids looked at
mm-hmm.
at the next level. Talk about that a little bit as far as the attention this area deserves.
To the west side. Yeah, I think it's been a known thing for a number of years now that it doesn't seem like the east side – requires as much effort to get noticed as the West Side does. And maybe that's because of Detroit. But, yeah, it's just one of those things that, you know, like you said, per capita, it doesn't make sense. There's a lot of recruiters that I talk to that say, I come here every year, coach, because I know. Not everybody knows, but I know.
Right.
And, you know, I just think that that's a credit to, you know, the style of football we have here.
Right. Also want to thank Finishing Touch, Full Service Salon, Hair and Nail Design, Massage, Tanning, and Products. Call them at 231-755-3377. ASSE International. International high school students, would you please think about providing one of them a home and three squares a day? Give Julie McKay a call, 402-2892. That's the shameless plug for my wife.
That's right.
Other sponsors, Preferred Chrysler Dodge Jeep in Muskegon, Orthopedic Associates of Muskegon, Port City Pediatrics, Bad Boy Bail Bonds, Sherry Becker at Waddell and Reed Financial and Durspeet Automotive.
Yeah. And Sport Clips. Sport Clips is another great one.
Don't forget Sport Clips.
Yeah, you really can't. You know, Stacy Patulski out there, he's been involved in the sports scene for a very long time. So great to have good businesses in our area.
Absolutely. Coach, let's dive into the 2018 season. If you don't mind, we'll just kind of go game by game.
Yeah.
You can give me a high level. Let's start with Grand Haven. You open with them. I got one saying you're opening on Friday, one opening on Thursday. I think it's a Thursday game.
It is. It's a Thursday.
And you got them at home this year. Talk about Grand Haven and the Buccaneers.
Yeah, you know, they play us tough every single year. I mean, home openers are tough as it is. I mean, you can only know so much about your opponent, right? You got a scrimmage, and you got last year, and if there's a new coach, you don't have much. So, you know, they play us tough. They played us tough last year. This is year two under Coach Nelson over there, so I, you know, the assumption is that the program will be that much further ahead. They had a quality JV team from last year, and so you know, it's really, as game ones go, you're gonna face somebody who's pretty good. And then because of the nerves and because of the newness and the start of the season, it's going to come down to, okay, who makes the least amount of mistakes, really.
Isn't that what it always kind of comes down to?
Yeah, especially week ones, man.
Right.
It really, you look at the stats on turnovers, and, you know, it's definitely going to be, you know, who makes the least amount of mistakes.
Right. I want to just interject here. What about your kicking game? Do you have any special teams? Special teams is a big deal in high school football.
Mm-hmm.
Having a good kicker in high school football is critical.
You've got a great soccer program here.
Well, right.
How does that influence your special teams?
Right,
the last several years we've had a soccer player as our kicker. We've definitely gone that route. It looks, though, this year that we're going to be training one of our athletes to do it, which, you know, I'm perfectly fine with doing that as well.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's hard to have the soccer player, you know, if the two programs don't, you know, perfectly jive with schedules and you know, and
tough.
It really it's not anybody, but you know, most soccer players can kick a ball and do it pretty well, but you throw in, okay, the pads and the pressure and the spotlight and, you know,
talk about the stopwatches clicking here, you know, and that ball is snapped. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a timing thing, and that pressure is
yeah,
mounting.
So to have the time to replicate that in practice with a kid who is on, you know, his number one devotion is his soccer team.
Right.
That can prove to be a challenge. And we've done it. We've had success with it in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, but we'll see.
You got to have, I guess, it's got to be a kid that really wants to be there.
It does.
And they're dedicated, mm-hmm. and, you know, they have similar goals in mind as they would on the soccer field that they'd have on the football field.
Yeah, they almost need to see themselves as both.
Right.
And no question. To really, you know, have that kid have success.
Well, right, and for anybody, any kid listening that thinks they want to kick, if you can kick in high school, if you can kick a 35-yard field goal, hit 8 out of 10 of them,
mm-hmm.
talk to coach.
Yeah, that's right.
No, because that's a huge commodity.
It is.
To be able to score in a football game and kick it in the end zone.
How many football games have been won by that one point?
Well, no, think about it. If you score, coach, and then you get a kicker that can put it in the end zone, high school, you don't run it out.
Oh, yeah.
And you're able to have flipped the field and maybe get the ball back inside the opponent's 50-yard line.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, to be able to kick in the end zone is huge.
Yeah, right. I think that's the thing that, you know, a lot of people will just focus on the field goal, the extra point,
mm-hmm.
you know,
oh, no.
the three or the one. But that kickoff is to put it in the end zone. You mm-hmm. know, you neutralize that. And some of those teams that you're going to go against, they got that's where they got lightning in a bottle right there.
Yeah, it's one more opportunity they have to score on you. I mean, kickoff team is such a critical team. I mean, really any specialty where you're playing defense.
Right.
You cannot give anything up.
Right. So at Orchard View week two.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, you got obviously number three all time, so obviously a great history with them. What are you thinking about the Cardinals?
Well, I know they were really young last year, you know, the expectation coming back is that they'll be further along. You know, they gave us a real good game 2 years ago. We were at their place, and they got up for us, and some things, you know, went their way early and made it a game. And they were at our place last year, and we handled business, so we'll just have to make sure we do that again.
Right. Then you got Shores. Mona Shores coming to town week three.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we talked about always a huge rivalry
that
for
is,
these kids. No problem
game.
Getting these kids up for that game. And I want to get back to you mentioned about the first game of the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every game's got an adrenaline function for these kids. But you talk about the opening game at home, all practices, all fall, all year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no trouble with these young guys keeping them up for every game, and you won't have any trouble there as well.
Yeah, you know, the first games, there's a sense, I think any coach will tell you, there's a sense of the summer leads up. It's like you're preparing for that first game. And so the win-loss on that is very emotional. You know, if you win, it's like, okay, validation that what we've been doing, and
right.
it's going to work.
True. It's true. Yeah.
And then, you know, if you lose, it's deflating. It is, and you got to get right back up for week two. It can't be the end-all, be-all. But, yeah, it's a critical game.
And then Jenison, mm-hmm. you get it home as well the next week.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Again, new coach over at Jenison.
Boy, Jenison, yep. Last year, too, you had them.
Yeah.
You know, that first half there, you had them against the wall. And,
well, I think that's the game. You had some guys get dinged up.
Yeah, right? Evan was out that game.
We
had our
don't do that again this year.
We had a couple other guys out that game, and you know those are tough kids as well, and they're coached by Rob Zeitman now, who I coached with at Northview, and so that'll be a fun game for sure. But you know, yeah, I mean, going back to last year, there was just a handful of plays in each of those games, and that's. Again, getting over that hump.
Right.
So Union, you got them at home as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you finished with four away games.
Yeah.
So how did that probably didn't
Tony
sit very
that.
Well on
Tony,
that.
Tony, yeah. Sure, we saw him earlier today.
Yeah, buddy, what's up with that?
Yeah, you guys were friendly, though. So
Yeah, we've gotten over that, Bart. But, yeah, the last four being away, it's not ideal. But, you know, we'll make do.
Well, right, Greenville
right.
is away.
Mm-hmm.
Historically a good program.
Yep.
Nice stadium up there.
Yeah, talk about you get to play in that nice stadium. Talk about Greenville a little bit.
Yeah, one of our staff members, actually Sean O'Brien, he's from Greenville. His father coaches in the program, so we know a little bit about them, and we haven't played them in a few years, but you know, they'll be well coached, and they'll be a good challenge for us. And of course, playing at that stadium, you know, we've been there. We were there last year. We had a 7-on-7 there, so
nice,
real nice facility.
So Fruitport, new first year head coach in Nate Smith, no stranger there. Either number one all time. You guys hold a 31-19-1 edge over them.
Mm-hmm.
But always historically, again, another rivalry game, guys. Evan, what do you say about that, or the Fruitport game?
Yeah, it's always a good run for our money. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's always,
right.
Yeah, a good close game. And then usually, like Coach said, handle business.
Right. Well, you put it on them last year 21-7, so... You got to go there this year. And then at Kennewa Hills, and then at Muskegon. Got your work cut out for you the last 4 weeks. But, yeah, you got to work on
that. That Kennewa Hills game. Now, is there going to be kind of a little payback that you're really looking to take out last season's frustration out on that game? Because that one was a stinger.
Yeah.
I think, the Rocket Nation was, that hurt. And that was a one on the chin that you're going to want to take back.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, it's hung with us. We've had to put it behind us, but we've also had to use it as motivation.
Absolutely.
You know,
the beautiful thing is, you know, these kids that, you know, played last year that are coming back, you know, they get retribution.
Yeah.
You know, they got a chance to redeem it
mm-hmm.
and walk away with that.
Absolutely. You know, last year was an interesting year. We battled through a lot of things, and in some ways it was extremely successful season to have the chance to get to six wins. But obviously in other ways, and the most important is we didn't make playoffs. And, you know, I think that, that's just hung with everybody throughout the course of the offseason and through the summer. And to know that we could have and that this year, you know, obviously that's the goal.
Visiting with Coach Kyle Jewett from the Reese Puffer Rockets. Summer Coaches Series. Jay, we're rolling on here, buddy. We got a great slate of coaches.
Yeah.
We want to talk about some guys you got coming back. And again, check my numbers, but I got you as having 7 offensive starters coming back.
I believe that's correct.
Talk about some of those guys that you'll have coming back, or your offensive line. Let's give, because again, an ex lineman, they never get enough love.
Never enough. We've got three linemen coming back who started on the offensive line last year. TJ Waters, Shane Minders, and Eric McGarry. We have got a couple other guys that played either halftime on offense or started on defense that have found their way onto the offensive line. And Luke Van Dam. We will have some newcomers with Hans Schminekenik.
How do you get that name on the back
of
the jersey?
How do you spell that name?
There's a lot of consonants.
There's about 21 letters in that one, huh?
Yeah.
So,
well, talk about their size, Coach. You know, what do these kids look like?
You know, it's going to be unique this year for us. We've the last couple of years had, like, big kids. Sizable kids who are proficient at drive blocking, but not necessarily pulling. But this year we've got athletes. You know, we've got kind of hybrid defensive end, linebacker kind
speed.
Of lineman. So we have speed, which, you know, has made perhaps, but it's going to be more conducive to what we want to accomplish on offense. So, you know, I'm real excited about our progress through the summer with those guys. They've really, every single summer camp that we've had, you know, kind of just dove in and made sure that, you know, all the little things from footwork to hand placement to, you know, memorizing schemes and communication, that they're really going to get all that down before we get to 2-a-days.
Right. So talk about defense. Defensive side of the ball, who's going to coach? I know Scott Fedrosi's on the staff.
Mm-hmm.
He's a defensive guy. He's either linebackers or defensive line, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But talk about your defense. And do you have any of these kids going both ways? Are you looking at any kids going starting on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, with 35 kids, we're definitely going to have some kids going both ways. That's something that, you know, if you had your druthers, you'd say, you know, we'd want a platoon offense and defense. But at the same time, like, you know, I think back to when I played in high school, and I'm sure when you played, people played both ways, and it is the way it is.
Best 11 on the field.
Best
right?
11, that's right.
Right.
So, but Scott Fedrosi leads our defense. You know, he's a phenomenal coach. You know, he obviously comes from Muskegon Catholic, he joined the staff last year. Football mind, great motivator, just great with the kids as well. So he's our DC and linebackers coach as well.
So you and head coach certainly, but when Scott is calling the plays, you're obviously in the headset. Mm-hmm. You're staying out of it, right? Or are you giving him some insights if he's calling stuff that you agree with or don't agree with? Are you giving him some feedback, or are you just letting him run the show on defense?
Yeah, you know, it's a combination of things. It depends on the game. It depends on how the game's going. Obviously, big decisions, you know, fourth downs, things of that nature. You know, obviously, I'm signing off on. But for the most part, I let my coaches coach. And I have full trust in Scott, as I do any of the other coaches. And we're together, you know, not year-round, but, you know, from June
1st.
Seems
like year-round.
It does.
Talk every day, right?
Yeah, from June 1st on, you know, we are around each other more than our families. And,
right.
You know, so that second hand is something that gets developed, and there's a lot of trust there.
Well, and guys, how about some feedback from you? So what about your coach talks about trust. What about trust that you guys developed or have developed with your teammates, not only this year, but just as a program? Evan, let's start with you.
We all come together as one big team, so we all have a lot of trust in each other. We all have a great bond, and we really consider ourselves a family.
Right. Gavin, how about you?
Well, it's pretty much the same thing. We try to come together as a team, try to keep everyone up.
Right.
Be all on the same page at the same time, because if we're all not on the same page during the game, it just, I don't know, it's bad, really.
Well,
it's not good chemistry.
No, I understand. Thanks. You guys are obviously going to start, and you're going to be, you know, important pieces of the Rocket puzzle this fall. Talk about leadership, and talk about how some of the kids that maybe aren't first-teamers, younger guys, right, or even down to the JV and the freshman level, talk about how you present yourselves and some of the things you guys might do as leaders every day and what you're doing to help instill that in some of the younger guys. Because they are watching, trust me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we practice with JV now until, like, the season starts. I try to, like, give them advice on things. I don't know. Go at plays 100% every like, down.
Mm-hmm.
I just give them good advice, you know, because when you get here, it's not games. You know, JV season is just like if you get wins, it's good. But varsity, you try to make it to playoffs, really, and just have a good record. I just try to be a leader all the time.
Just encourage them.
Encourage them.
Keep them moving.
Be good.
How about you, Evan?
Yeah, encouragement for sure. Picking each other up, making sure everyone's going 100%. Making sure they're good kids on the field, off the field, and just making everybody work together.
Right. No, that's great. So while you guys are both in the headsets, talk about the 7-on-7s you guys have done. Coach mentioned it. I was up here the other night for a mm-hmm. – and Coach, jump in here. You know, you had Catholic and you had Spring Lake. How many of those have you done, and what growth have you seen between – the ones you may have done early to the one you just maybe finished last week?
Yeah, sure. So we did four big ones. We went to Michigan State first early in June, and actually before that it was Western, right? But that one got lightninged out, which was fun. We were about 20 minutes away, and they called us to say they canceled.
Turn around.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah. So and then when we went to Michigan State, and then Ferris State, and then Grand Valley, and we've done a few other just kind of one-on-ones or you know, a few teams, you know, present as well. And, you know, the thing that I always say to the kids, like, we're here for a couple reasons, you know. We're here to compete, you know, to get better, to learn the playbook. You know, we run only the plays that we're going to run during the season. But, you know, especially when you go to universities, you're taking these young kids for an experience. You know, they get to see the weight room, they get to see locker rooms, they get to meet coaches. It's just a – you know, in the memory book, it's you're adding one to it. You know?
A little wow factor going on.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, it goes back to just being a part of the program. You get to play football, but you also get to do this. You know, so you know that's definitely part of bringing our kids to those things.
So, have you seen marked improvement? Obviously, you have from the first one of those to last week.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it goes without saying that you're gonna, you know, progressively get better throughout the summer as you know, you get more reps, but. You know, any coach will tell you that you can't replace game reps, and not that 7-on-7s are games, but we've been in a few tight ones and these tournament style ones, and you know, whenever your players have to make a play and they do, well, that's going to translate, you know, hopefully to Friday nights where when we have to make a play, they do again. So from that, you know, whether it's tangible or intangible, you know, those things that, you know, we've seen definite growth in this group.
Absolutely, guys. Let's start with Davin. 7-on-7s, man. I mean, you and your quarterback obviously have to have a significant amount of chemistry. Mm-hmm. You got to kind of live in each other's head, right? You guys got to know, you got to be on the same page, lockstep, consistently, you know, every snap, every day. Talk about the value that brings for you as a running back in developing that chemistry before official practices start this next week.
Well, during the 7-on-7s, really – I mean, we run these plays in practice, and I don't know, you have to talk.
Communication,
you have to talk.
Right.
Like, he have been getting passes to me, the people, not just me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a good quarterback, and he's just, I don't know, getting the job done. We all getting the job done, just competing.
But it helps you, and let's go to you, Evan. I mean, communication, obviously important. But having that connection, or that actual, you know, the telepathy with not only your running back but your receivers. Talk about who your receivers are, and how you develop that as a quarterback, man. You're the guy. No pressure, but you're the man.
Yeah, we all really improved a lot since our first 7-on-7 to the last 7-on-7. First one, maybe everyone wasn't quite in the same rhythm. Completing maybe 50% of all the passes. Through doing all these 7-on-7s, everyone's getting a feel for it, doing the routes correctly, me making the right reads, throwing the ball where it's supposed to be. To our last 7-on-7, completing maybe 90% of all the passes and really just getting a feel where everyone's going to be at and where the ball needs to be put.
Who are some of your receivers? Who are going to catch some passes?
Davin Fox, Eddie Longmire, Gary Humphrey III, Carter Fulton for sure. He's going to be a really big part.
I saw a big tall kid. Maybe that was
big
tall kid.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah,
say it again.
Carter,
he's one of our star receivers.
Yeah.
Carter Fulton, he was an all-conference and all-area receiver last year, so as a junior. So this is a senior season, and he's had a great summer. And Evan and he have had kind of the shorthand, as you talk about the chemistry and the connection there. They've had a great summer together.
Well, so, and Coach, talk about that. I mean, the chemistry is so important, not only with the kids, but obviously the connection to the coaches. And coaches aren't there to be everybody's best friend, right? They're there to coach and teach. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, that bond that you have with your players is important. So talk about that and that development from maybe not so much these guys too. You've been around these guys enough, but some of the younger guys, the guys that maybe haven't played full time yet.
Well, yeah, you know, I was talking to my wife actually about this the other day, and that this summer, just being around these guys at all these 7-on-7s and camps, it's been the most fun group of guys to be around. They're just a fun-loving, you know.
Great attitudes,
enthusiastic. You know, they realize it's work, you know, but they do it with a smile on their face. You know, they know it's an investment into their season, and that, you know, and that takes a unique perspective as a kid to see what we're doing this second,
yep.
You know, and to know that we're playing the long con here, guys. So, you know, it's been a lot of fun to be around these guys, and I think our team culture right now is head and shoulders where it was last year, and I think that's going to pay dividends for sure this season.
Yeah, that attitude thing, you know, people feed off it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, no question.
And then, you know, when kids are, you know, expecting that, you know, hey, why am I not getting my touches? But, you know, when they see everybody else knowing that they're in a similar boat and mm-hmm. they got a great attitude, that rubs off.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a great example of just leadership, you know, when somebody else gets the accolades, when you're used to getting it, and how do you handle that? And absolutely,
yeah,
you know,
there's a jealousy factor. You got to let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're on a team, yeah. You know, and really, because right. at the end of the day, and especially after high school, life is, it's a team. Mm-hmm. It's a team effort, and you rely on all the different pieces that make that thing work. And so those kids, they're learning that right now. And Sophia has some kids ahead of the curve. That makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think we do. It's been, like I said, it's been a great summer, and these guys have been a lot of fun to be around.
Well, you know, and I think of a guy named Bo had his famous the team speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in that speech, he talks about where else do you get to play for a team, mm-hmm. right? These kids know, and it's an appreciation. We talked about it at the very early part of this program. About having the memories, right?
Right.
Wins and losses are important, but as long as you go out and you lay it all on the line, man, and you give it 100% and you buy in and you play as a team,
right?
It's all you can ask of these kids.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, they will remember, as you said earlier, they will remember plays.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, not
absolutely,
just not just
yeah.
games, but plays. And you know, to me, that just is testament, as if it didn't, you know, need any more, that football is important. And it's that powerful of a force on a young man's life.
Right. What play do you remember?
Ooh, put me on the spot.
I mean, you were undefeated, right? But
yeah.
one play that you made that you think you maybe thought, wow, did I really do that? Or
yeah.
or maybe it was a teammate that said, did he really do that?
Yeah, so. You know, I guess the first that comes to mind is I threw actually Scott Fedrosi's brother, Dan Fedrosi, a pass in the state finals, and it was maybe a 10-yard pass, but he took it for 50. And
nice.
Yeah, that's the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah. So I remember.
What about you, McKay? What's your favorite?
I remember getting run over in the East Kentwood game, and didn't play my position properly, and cheated, and thought I knew what was coming. I thought it was going to be a trap, and the running back, the guard, blew me up, and we lost that game on that play, 7-6. It was the only game we lost all season. Mm. And Coach Barcheski, God rest his soul, let me know about it. Never stop letting me know about it. I don't think.
Even after high school.
Oh, no. And I remember laying on the ground thinking, and my buddy Johnny Wiener was playing linebacker behind me and looking up, thinking, please, Lord, did Weenie get him? And he was gone. Oh, all I saw was his kid running down the field. Oh, so that's one you run off the side of the sideline. You're not with your head down, certainly, but your coach is here. You're running way over here. So
wow,
that's my memory. So we really appreciate your time. We want to get you out of here, but one more question. So give me two or three keys that you think are important moving forward. I'm going to get to these guys here in a second, too. But give me two or three keys you think are critical.
Well, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is health. I think if we can stay healthy, you know, and maintain our health throughout the season, I think that will go a long way to us achieving our goals. You know, we got a lot of guys with a lot of experience, but we're going to have a lot of guys playing a lot of reps. So, you know, hopefully that can, you know, we can stay healthy. Beyond that, I think that from a team chemistry standpoint, you're always looking on every season for somebody that you didn't expect to step up, whether it's an underclassman, whether it's a person who's in a new position, or something else. But we're looking for that kid to, wow, we didn't expect that, and look how much of an addition that is to one side of the ball or both or what have you. But you know, ultimately, I think it's about finishing games. I think. You know, football games are taxing mentally and physically, and we've had you know, some luck getting out to a good start in games, but after halftime, we got to make sure that we start hot again. And that this the kids have heard me say this about a million times, but I always say you got to start hot. You can't warm up. You can't try to wait and see how this is going to go, and you know how hard you got to play. And yeah, it's got to be a sense of urgency from the get go. Win the game in the first half, and then the second half, come out and do the same thing. So,
right,
I think those three things.
All right, guys, I got a couple of players here. I'm going to give you 20 questions, and we'll just rotate back and forth because I usually do this with one player. But I'm going to start with Devin, and then we'll go to Evan. Devin, what's the last song you listened to? Come on, man.
Don't remember. Drake? I was in my grandma's car.
What's the last song grandma listened to? Come on. A little Motley Crue?
I don't know. It was something that I don't know about.
Okay. Evan, your favorite place to visit?
Ooh, Florida, for sure. Preferably Destin.
Okay. Just because of the beaches and...
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Back to Devin. If you could visit anywhere, where would it be?
I want to go to the Bahamas.
Bahamas.
Yeah.
Nice. Evan, what's your biggest pet peeve?
Ooh. People are annoying.
People? Yeah. Well, that's kind of a high level. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things. That is a pet peeve. So, but we'll take it. Devin, what's your least favorite form of exercise?
Lunges. I hate doing lunges.
Evan, what is your favorite season?
Football season.
Football season.
Fall.
Good, because it's football season.
That's right.
All right, now Devin, this is something you can say, you know, while we're on the air, so to speak. What's the craziest thing you've ever done?
It's a lot of crazy things I've done.
All right.
I don't know.
Probably just can't say it while we're on the podcast. Evan, if you could see one musician living or dead, who would it be?
Jimi Hendrix.
Excellent.
That'd be cool.
Excellent. Devin, where will we find you in 5 years? No pressure. Do you have any aspirations to play sports after high school?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I want to go to college, and to be honest with you, I want to be in the NFL, but if I can't, then probably be an engineer, because that's what I want to do.
Buddy, that's two great goals, right? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the degree, that's good for you. Evan, what's your greatest achievement so far to date?
Honestly, probably starting quarterback as a sophomore, just because that's something I've been working for since I was about seventh grade, and then it finally happened. I'm pretty proud of that.
Oh, good for you. Right, Devin, if you could have one superpower, what would it be and how would you use it?
to read minds.
Okay.
I would like to read minds because sometimes you got people that don't like you.
Right.
And they want to say stuff about you.
Right.
So I wish I could just read the mind.
Right.
And say, this is why you don't like me. Or something like that. I don't know.
And then not care anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Evan, if you could time travel, would you go to the past or the future?
Future.
Why?
Just to see what it's like.
Devin, who's your personal hero?
My mom.
Good for you. Right answer. Evan, if you could tackle anyone in history, who would it be? Coach?
No.
No.
You'd have to catch me, though.
Ooh, either Tom Brady or Randy Moss.
Marshawn Lynch.
There you go.
I'm not taking him down.
Yeah, exactly. Who was I back to? Devin?
Yeah.
What is your favorite class, and who is the teacher?
History.
Who's the teacher?
History with Kyle Jewett.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Evan, what is your favorite holiday and why?
I like Halloween a lot just because of like the stuff that goes around it with the movies, with haunted houses.
Candy,
yeah.
Okay. Devin, if you could speak to everyone in the world at the same time, what would you say?
Be great.
Be great. Awesome. Evan, what words of wisdom would you pass on to your childhood self?
Ooh. Keep working hard. Don't let things bother you. Just keep working for it.
Keep moving. All right. Devin, if you could change one football rule, what would it be?
We get to wear colored shields.
There was no pause Vices. There. You've been thinking about this.
Yep.
There you go. All right, number 20 for both of you, and be honest, rate this interview from 1 to 10.
Over 10.
20. Over 10, 20. Nice.
Politically correct.
Awesome. All right, Coach, anything you want to talk about, any promotions for the school, anything before we let you get out of here? We really appreciate your time, man. We hope to, as we said, this is the evolution of what we're doing together with the LSJ.
Yeah.
You know, we want to connect this to maybe a video component and maybe do some live stuff, do some games, connect it to social media and Facebook pages. But anything specific, promotion, any
events coming up with families?
Sure.
Yeah, well, first, just let me say, as a fan of podcasts, I think this is awesome. I think
cool.
This is the future, like long-form conversation and the fact that you guys are doing this now for high school athletes and these kids, the work that they put in, they deserve to have, a super positive experience in their high school years. So, first of all, thank you for having us. And,
You're welcome.
I just think this is a really cool idea for West Michigan.
Great.
Beyond that, we've got what we call Rocket City Games, which is kind of a big community event that is the week of the first game, but it really centers on the game. We feature all the athletes that in all the different sports. There's like a Taste of Muskegon thing that we set up at the stadium. There's bounce houses and fun stuff for kids.
Good.
Fireworks and all that.
What's
kind of
the
stuff.
Date of
so,
that?
That's the Grand Haven game at home.
Oh, okay, the home opener.
Yeah, so they'll do it leading up to the game and then some stuff the day of the game and with fireworks at the tail end of it.
Wow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And practice actually begins?
Monday.
Yep. Mondays. Do you actually do two-a-days as we think about it, or is it how do you run
that?
Yeah,
there's some changes from back in the day in terms of like equipment. We can wear helmets until we start with helmets and then we don't get shoulder pads until Wednesday and Thursday and then full pads Friday. So Friday is the first day of full pads actually. So
You start hitting right away on Friday?
Yeah. We get into it right away and
these guys are giving thumbs up for that.
Well, they itch for pads in May. So,
right. No,
you know,
I get
it's,
it.
It's definitely welcomed by the time Friday of two-a-days come around.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Well, Coach, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Devin and Evan, thank you.
Thank
J-Dog,
you.
Here
hey,
we go, man.
What hospitality. Reese Puffer, they got a great facility here.
It's a big place.
It really is. I mean, you look at your stadium. I don't know if there is a nicer stadium around when you look at your grandstands.
And I'm loving the natural grass, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, they've done wonders with that grass.
The field looks
phenomenal.
It does. Yeah. And so this is a great facility here. And, Tony is a great guy. He's just a he's always happy we're here, and always welcoming us to do some good stories on you guys, and so it's great to be here.
Well, thanks again for being here.
No worries, Coach. That's Kyle Jewett from the Reese Puffer Rockets. I'm
That's
John
right.
McKay. We're going to keep moving down the road. Summer Coaches Series coming up next. We've got we've got Shane Fairfield from the Big Reds, and we've got Matt Koziak from the Sailors coming up soon. So stay tuned. We'll be back. Thank you, guys.